Someone said they didn't use these because it was like a pacifier. Well, I'm used to a pacifier, so I'll use this one too. Anybody see the storm last night? I had both doors open. I actually looked at that, and I thought about some of Bill Hayes' teaching, you know, that this is the fear of God, that that he demonstrates himself in peace, and he demonstrates himself in storms, and that the wind began to blow, and they warned us, and then the TV went out, so I couldn't even tell where it was, you know, and it finally came back on. Okay. Well, maybe it's being recorded anyway, if you, I don't know. Hopefully, okay. I thought about the song that says, when the storm passes by. And there are storms in life, and they're for our purpose. A calm sea never made a good sailor. And so we need those things to move through. We grow in the valley so we can go to the mountaintop. And so the storms of life, the situations that are there, are for our benefit, whether we realize it or not. And I'm sure that some of the things that need to be blown away were blew away. And a scripture the Lord showed me this week that said that those things that will remain, we can see what's going to remain through the storm. And what a blessing it is to know that that God is at work. And this morning we have had already a message about his presence, about we need him, how much we need him, how desperate we are for him. And he's here. He's here to meet your needs. We usually say at the end of the service, find a need and meet it. Well, we may have that need that needs to be met. And so we're here today gathered at the table of the Lord, in the house of the Lord, in the house of prayer, to receive. And so let's pray again. Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that you would touch every person here that with open ears and an open heart. Lord, that you would touch me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh God, that we would be able to have a God-given, Holy Ghost-driven message to the people today. Thank you, Lord, for what you put in my heart, but you can change it at any moment, Lord, to where we can see what each person needs today. Lord God, in Jesus' name, amen. How many of you like changes? Well, you say it depends on what the change is. Well, you know, we have the school out at Calvary Commission called Calvary Bible Institute, and we receive various kinds of people as students in that school, but some of them have been to prison. And right now we have 187 approved applicants. Now, if they all came today, we'd have to add more chairs, wouldn't we? But they want to come today. But that kind of change, they would love it if that happened today, that change. And we've seen many times through about 40-something years of people finding that change from being in prison to being in church in the free world or being part of what God is doing. We still rejoice, and we don't want to stop praying for Hannah Sines Overton, even though God has delivered her through our prayers and she is set free. We've invited her to our conference in September, her whole family, and we believe that. But she finally had a change. And on that interview, we showed it Wednesday night at the prayer service, that interview with her, well, they said, tell us about that first night out. Tell us about those things there. And she said, well, the first thing I realized is that the bed was too soft. You know, after 7 years on a single hard mattress, and all of a sudden she has a home with a bed. So she liked that kind of change. But we are going to have changes. I said to Brother Robert this morning, I said, isn't it amazing that that everything in the world, including our bodies, needs repair? Because they were talking about an amplifier wasn't working and this other mic didn't work this morning and it needs repair. Well, there's just changes that take place. And there's a word, if I can say it right, metamorphosis, and it's a change. The dictionary says a change in the form and often habits of an animal during normal development after the embryonic stage. Metamorphosis includes in insects, I'm glad it's not 12 because you wouldn't like this one, the transformation of a maggot into an adult fly. I didn't even know that. You know, now you want to shoo that thing, shoo fly, don't bother me. Get it off that potato, you know, get it off that piece of chicken. Oh, we're having a picnic 2 weeks. Get that fly off, you know where it's been, you know. And some of these missionaries, they've had experience with flies for sure. And it comes into a fly. But a caterpillar into a butterfly. And in amphibians, the changing of a tadpole into a frog. And we've got a new Hope Lake beside the office out there. And I tell you, at night, the frogs are singing. And they used to be tadpoles. Now, when I walk around there and I see these little tadpoles jumping in the water, well, I guess they're a wannabe frog and so on. I don't know what frogs are good for anyway, but I know that Moses had to pray them in. But it's part of the change. And we have a church in Romania, a very powerful church called Metanoia. And that word means a change of heart, especially a spiritual conversion. And the Greek is from metanoin, and to change one's mind. And that means to repent and to think differently. And repentance is that word. And even penitentiary comes from that basic word of repent. But repentance is to change your mind about sin. That you no longer see it as pleasure for a little while. But it's to see it, it's to hate it, it's to turn away from it. And you don't stop there. It's to turn away from it, but to turn to the Lord Jesus with all your heart. And to walk in a new direction. That's change that comes in. And so the change that we have is best described in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, there's been a lot of transformation in the prison system, not as much as needs to be probably, but some reform. But used to, the guards would call the inmates, hey, you old thing. Well, I would tell them, it says old things will pass away. All things will become new. I tell them, you can be an ex-con in prison because you're no longer conning anybody. You're living for God. Some of the greatest Christian illustrations and examples I've ever seen are men and women behind prison bars that are going to be there the rest of their lives, but they know that God has changed them. And they fast. Even brothers said, well, we had a dry fast, no water for 5 days. Oh, my goodness, what a commitment, what a dedication. But it's that old things have passed away, all things have become new. Now, that's a simple way of saying it. But if you will go back and read the previous verses, you'll find out how that change takes place. It says in verse 14 and 15, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. In verse 15, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. We no longer live for, that's the greatest change that can take place, that we stop living for ourselves. We stop living a life pleasing self, a life of selfishness, a life serving ourselves. And that's what everyone out there is trying to do as they sin, is they're serving themselves. It says that we no longer serve ourselves, but somebody said if you see a but, you need to see what it's there for. Well, okay, I'll leave that alone. But for him who died for them and rose again. That we no longer serve ourselves, but we serve him who died and rose again. Jesus, we just celebrated that resurrection, and we celebrate it every Sunday. This is Resurrection Day, whether it's called Easter or not. It's Resurrection Day. And it says that he died for them, and he rose again, and so that's where the change comes in. And yet that takes repentance, that takes salvation, that takes a new life, that takes the change. And we have the message of hope. We have hope on our side. We call it living hope. But where there is hope, there will be people looking for a change, because the hope is for a different situation. The hope is for a different day. The hope is for a different way of living. The hope is for some miracle to come through. The hope is to make it through the storms of life. That's where the hope is. And so where there's hope, there will be people looking for a change. This is called salvation. And that comes by grace, are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not by works, lest anyone should boast. That salvation takes place when we repent and we believe in Jesus. We trust in Him. We rely upon Him. We say, I'm no longer going to live a life of sin. I'm no longer going to live for myself. I'm going to live for the one who died and rose again. I'm going to trust in the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross of Calvary. I'm going to be able to say, Lord, I am yours. I'm not going to live anymore for myself. I'm going to live for you. Real salvation comes where people say, I'm giving my life to God. It's no longer me. It's no longer about me. It's about the Lord. And I want to live my life for God all the way to heaven. And so as Brother David announced, then there's the baptism in water. Water will not save you. You can go down a dry center and come up a wet center and nothing will happen. But it is a sign to the congregation and to the world. It's like a ring on the finger that you have become a Christian, that you are in the Jesus life, baptism in water. And then the step from there is to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, which means that you have not just been baptized in water, but baptized in the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized in water, and we're going to do that in a couple of weeks, then there is the element, which is the water. And there is the baptizer, which is the pastor or someone you've asked to baptize you. And there is the candidate, which is the person that steps into the water. That's the candidate. And so the baptizer takes the person and he asks some questions and says, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. And they go down and they bring them up. Now, I confess there's been people I wanted to leave them down a little longer. Make sure. Are you sure, you know, about this? You bring them back up. But baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's the same way. There's the candidate. There's the element. And there's the baptizer. The difference is that the element is the Holy Spirit. The candidate is the saved person that says, I'm asking. He says, if you ask for a fish, will I give you a snake? If you ask for bread, will I give you a rock? And so it's that one that says, I want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Except the pastor's out of it. The baptizer is Jesus. And he is the one. He's the one that says, I want to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. So we have change that takes place as we move through all that God has for us. And then we have sanctification. You say, what is that? That's a strong word. Well, it's another word for holiness. It's another word for being set apart from this life and being a part of God's life, set apart and made holy by the Lord. I believe it's instantaneous at salvation, because if God has forgiven you of every sin you've ever committed through Jesus Christ, then you're as holy as you could ever be. Now, because we know we live in a sinful world, there may be things after that we slip and fall in, but it's not intentional. It's that which is around us, and you can have that daily cleansing. So sanctification is instantaneous and progressive as we walk with the Lord through the Word of God, as we get into the Word and we let the Word of God get into us. As we get into the Spirit and let the Spirit of God get into us, then we can have a daily progressive sanctification. And the same thing is having a mind renewed. Because the Scripture says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable, a reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is a good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so we can have that daily, and we should have that daily. That should be part of your daily prayer, that you're getting more like Jesus, you're getting more mature in the Lord, and that you are there, and that you have that ability to have that progressive, that renewed mind, and that progressive repentance that is going along with it, where that you don't just repent one time, but you say, Lord, I want to see that today. I want to see myself. I want to see myself. I tell people that you really need to have a personal relationship with three different beings. The first one is God and Jesus, that we need to have a personal relationship with Jesus. The next one is the devil. You say, wait a minute, Joe, that's heresy. Don't tell me to have a personal relationship with the devil. I'm trying to get away from the devil. No, you need to know him well, because he's a deceiver. He is one that steals, kills, and destroys, and he wants to discourage you. He wants to pull you away. He wants to pull you back to him. He wants to, we saw a video yesterday about a lion that was running and finally found a zebra and got the zebra down and was biting all over him and so on. And he is like a roaring lion. He wants to deceive you. He wants to destroy you. And so we have to know his wiles, his tricks. And then the third person we need to know is ourselves. You need to have a personal relationship with yourself. You know your strengths. You know your weaknesses. You know what to get away from, that you're headed in a wrong direction. And all of a sudden you say, well, that's where repentance comes in, to turn around and go the other way. And go the other way. I heard this story about Nicky Cruz. Nicky Cruz was a gangster, head of a gang in New York. David Wilkerson, through miraculous intervention of the Holy Spirit, led him to the Lord. And he came one day to a service with David, and he said, there's two preachers in the house. God's called me to preach. And David Wilkerson said, well, then I need to send you to Bible college in California. And he got out there, and here's this gang guy sitting in class, and all of a sudden Gloria is sitting up here, and he starts looking at her instead of the teacher. And all of a sudden, you know, he kind of gets attracted to her, and he says, well, you know, let's walk and pray together, you know, and let's let you kind of disciple me and teach me some things. And so they're walking. He said, you know, I'm kind of getting tired. Let's sit down in this grass. And he says, you know, I just want to lay down. What about you? And so they lay down there, and, you know, everything from the New York streets was coming into his mind. And he was very close. And all of a sudden, he jumps up screaming. He had laid down in a red ant bed. I guess the battery didn't like that one. Okay. I must have quenched the spirit. Okay. Anyway, the scripture says that he will provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So that you're going in the wrong direction. The Holy Spirit says, turn around, and you go in the other direction. And so he ended up marrying Gloria and has a worldwide ministry, wrote Run Baby Run. And someone came up to me at the conference, asked me if I was the one that wrote Run Baby Run. I said, no, I wrote Challenging the Impossible, but I didn't write Run Baby Run. So we need to have that progressive repentance. And what I'm going to talk to you about this morning is being filled with the Spirit. With the fruits of the Spirit being filled. And so it's like we can do all those things that I've said, and yet you say, well, that I've done this, and this. I've done all of the mechanics of what they told me to do. No, it's never over. We never give a discipleship diploma, because it's never over. We need to continue to be filled. And Ephesians 5:18-19 says, don't be drunk. This is the New Living Translation. With wine or anything else. Because that will ruin your life. Everybody say, ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so it's a filling. It's a filling. Now, it takes place in the baptism in the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled the whole house where they were sitting. And so the wind filled the house. God is in the filling business, and we are a filling station. What happened this morning at the altar, and what continues to happen, it's a filling station. It's a place to come and to be filled more and more with God, to empty out and be filled. And that's what that rushing mighty wind did. It was kind of like, first of all, we got to have a little storm here. We got to kind of clear the room. And then in verse 4, it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so it was a mighty demonstration, and 3,000 souls were saved, and people from all over the world. There's a lot of message there. And they call people two before preachers because they can't preach unless they use Acts 2:4. Well, I just used it, so I guess I'm a two before preacher. But I want to tell you today, there's other evidences. It's not a spiritual status symbol. Well, I spoke in tongues. I pray in tongues. I praise in tongues. I believe that we should speak in tongues. God has given that as a gift. But there's other evidences in addition to the tongues that can flow. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, they'd already had that baptism, but it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. And so it's a power that comes in. It comes in. I heard recently someone said, it's not a firecracker, it's a dynamite. It's a power that gives you boldness to live for Jesus. Boldness. They were all filled with boldness. And so we need to be filled with this boldness. We need to continue to be filled. Acts 13:52, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. If you think you're going to be a witness to the world out there with a frown on your face, and that you're going around, like my customer that came in, I said, how are you doing? Just going around looking for the next disappointment. You know, if you think you're going to win the world with that frown on your face, with that negative spirit, he says he will fill us with joy. Amen. With joy. And joy is different than happiness. Happiness is based on what's happening, but joy comes from Jesus inside of you, coming out through you and speaking to the world around you. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory, as the song says, that it's a joy that comes there. Someone said it's J-O-Y, Jesus first, others second, yourself last, and there's a joy that comes. So we can be filled with joy. You got joy this morning? I mean, not just, happening, or not just, I don't believe in cheerleading an audience. Okay, let's say amen, say glory. No, I think it should be that which comes out naturally because of what Jesus is doing in your life. Because if you do that, then that's all they've got, just a work of the flesh. But when it's God coming in and the joy of the Lord is there, and you've been there, they said about the disciples, we could see that they had been with Jesus. And that it's the presence of God that is there. So there will be a joy in your personality that will be there. You see, this Holy Spirit we're talking about, these additional evidences, the Holy Spirit will produce fruit. It'll produce fruit in your life. And Galatians 5:22 tells us what we need to be filled with. Not just speaking in tongues, but we need to be filled. The Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love. David Wilkerson, again, he called it a baptism of love. If it's not love, is not there, then I don't know if Jesus is there, because he is love. And that we have love for God. And we have love for one another. And we have love for those around us. There's a love that is there. It's an agape love. And agape love is choosing for the highest good for God and for his universe. And that means that we're choosing the best for God. What makes God happy, not what makes us happy. What pleases God, not what pleases ourselves. And I guarantee you, when a man's ways please the Lord, even his friends will be, his companions will be, that we will be able to reach out to others because our ways please the Lord. It's not a life of sadness and dreariness. It's a life of joy. And when we love God, and we will love each other, we'll love others. And so we need to be filled every day with love. Fill my way every day with love, as the song says. Joy. I talked about joy. A peace. A peace is something that is the peace of God. It's not just absence of conflict. It's the peace of God that passes understanding that will keep our hearts and minds as we have the peace of God. And if you've ever had the peace of God, you'll know when it's not there. And that's how that you can be guided through life is, do I have peace about this? Or is the Holy Spirit walking around me saying, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. The peace of God that comes from His presence. Jesus said, peace I give to you. Not the peace that the world gives. My peace I give unto you. Long suffering. Now, let's pause a minute on that. What does it mean? Well, in the Hebrew and the Greek, no. It just means suffering long. It just means keep on suffering. Long suffering. You say, well, I'm through with this person. I'm through with this. You know, I don't want to be around this anymore. No, it's, I'm suffering. Well, okay, God's got a reason for that. But we have that long suffering. It's a godly character He wants to put inside of us, and we need to be filled with that ability to be long suffering. Kindness. Kindness. You say, well, I just, you know, if that's the way I feel about it, I'm going to say it. Isn't there a kind way? It's true. I just need to say it. Isn't there a kinder way to say it? Isn't there a kinder way to say it? This world has got so much pain already, so much injury. These children we work with on Wednesday night, these youth, they have been yelled at. They have been defiled. They have been rejected. And yes, we need discipline, but we need to say it in a kind way. We need to follow it up with an ability to let everyone know that God is loving them and caring for them, and that there's a kinder way to do it. Kindness. We need to be filled with kindness. We need to be filled with goodness because God is good. We need to be filled with faithfulness, which means loyalty. We need to, this is a godly character. He's a faithful God. Great is His faithfulness, the song says. And we need to be filled with faithfulness so that regardless of high water, that we're going to be faithful. We're going to stay with it. It's what I call a spiritual stubbornness, that we're steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Our labor's not in vain in the Lord, even though it seems that way at times. Faithfulness is there. Spirit of gentleness. So that's just not me. Well, we'll talk about why that's not you. It's called the flesh. But gentleness. Gentleness is an ability to relate. And I know that in some of the situations we've been in, we have been treated with gentleness. But we can respond with gentleness. We can be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. And that comes from gentleness. And all of that comes about by the next one, which is called self-control. That we need to recognize that, yes, we no longer live for ourselves, but for the one who died and rose again. And God can give us that temperance, which gives us that ability to control the man, the woman inside of us. Against such, there is no law. So, He tells us to be filled with the Spirit. So that's the fruit of the Spirit. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6 and 7. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God. Now here's godly character. It's description of God Himself. Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth. What's He like? Merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Similar scripture by the psalmist in Psalm 86:15. But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in mercy and truth. He says, full of compassion. We need to be filled with these godlike character because God is inside and He's working the junk out of our lives. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which you're called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Paul, speaking to the Ephesians, he said it all. He said what I've been saying already in this message. And it's, we're walking worthy of God's fruit. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit is God's fruit. It's God-likeness. It's godliness. It's godliness. Colossians 3, 12 through 13. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. As I began ministry in Tyler on the streets, working with Teen Challenge, well, I'd talk to these hippies, these kids, and they'd say, well, I'm afraid I'd just be putting on. I said, well, the Bible says to put on. It says, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering. And so this is also the fruit that we need to be filled with, that we need to be filled with, forgiving one another. 2 Timothy 3:10 and 11. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions. And so Paul is saying to young Timothy, you see my life? You see the witness I've had? That I have a life, that my doctrine includes purpose, it includes faith, it includes long-suffering, it includes love, it includes perseverance, because I'm continuing in my faith, it includes persecution, yes, tell the bad news too, it includes afflictions. You see, this is godliness, it is God-likeness. And I ask you this morning, how are your levels of these things I've projected to you already this morning? How are your levels? I don't know if all men are like me, but I want to. My wife says, you better stop and get some gas. Oh, I can make it. But I know if I run out on the side of the road, she'll say, I told you so. So I usually stop and get $10 worth at a higher price so I can go and get it the rest of it at a lower price. And you see, we recognize that we can get empty. We can get low levels of all of these things, and that's why we need a constant filling station that we go to called the altar, that we would receive more and fill back up, because it leaks out because we're in a rough world around us, and it's just pulling it away from us. And I added this morning, this time that David's men were going to have a overthrow of their leader, and they were talking about stoning him. And I'm sure at this point that his despair was very evident, and that his ability to keep going was very low. And it says, but he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I believe that one of the things that we need to always look at is, what is the enemy trying to do to get us discouraged? What is he trying to do to get our eyes off of Jesus and get our eyes on ourselves and believe the lie of the devil that says it's not going to work? We might as well give it up. You see, David was at that point, but it says that he encouraged himself in the Lord. He went somewhere alone or whatever, and he cried out to God. And I have never yet seen a time that I did not come to an altar of prayer and cry out to God that he wasn't there, and I felt better. I believe I can truly say I've never been to a good spirit-filled worship service where I left feeling worse. Because we come there and we find that time of where our level is low, but we say, fill it up, Lord. Fill it up, Lord. Fill it up. We used to say, fill it up with Ethel. Well, that was back when that's unleaded and leaded, all that stuff, you know. But fill it up. Fill it up. Give me some regular. Fill it up. Had a pastor friend that said, young man he'd been working with got discouraged, and he came into his office, and he said, office was in the church, and He said, "Pastor, I just want to tell you that I'm leaving God today. It's not working for me." And he said, "Really?" I said, "Yes, I'm going to be leaving God." He said, "Well, don't you think you ought to tell him goodbye?" He said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Go to the altar, tell him goodbye." So he walks in there at the altar and says, "God, I need to leave. And I admit now you've been good to me. You know, you saved me, you forgave my sins, you started me on a new life, and you did this, but you've been so good. Oh God, I don't want to leave you." You see what he do? He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He found a way to get back up. Psalm 71:8 says, "Let my mouth be filled with praise." And so we need to be filled with praise. You will get encouraged if you praise the Lord. "Bring my soul out of prison that I can praise the Lord." Someone wrote the book, "From Prison to Praise." And regardless of what is going on, we can praise the Lord. My dad told the story about the man that stopped to pray over his lunch. And he prayed too long. And when he opened his eyes, a dog had eaten his lunch. He said, "Well, Lord, I praise you for an appetite anyway." You know, we can always find something to praise the Lord for. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We praise him. Let our mouth be filled with praise. Psalm 126:2 says, "Then our mouth was filled with laughter." I just heard some. It's good for you. It's good to get past that time of reality and get into some laughter that will bring things out. It says, "Our mouth is filled with laughter, our tongue with singing." You know, you might not even say, "But I just can't sing." Listen, make a happy racket before the Lord. Then they said, "Among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them." We need to be filled with laughter, filled with singing to the Lord. Now, who can be filled? Who can come up and say, "Fill it up, Lord"? Well, Matthew 5:6 says, "Blessed are the hunger and thirst for those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." So it's those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. It's the word of God that Jesus speaking to his disciples, the Beatitudes, they shall be filled. So there's a promise that is there that you don't have to walk around on empty. You don't have to walk around without these things. You can be filled. It says the Lord has done great things. They shall be filled. Ephesians 3:19, "To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all of the fullness of God." You know, we don't want to just barely get in. We want to get in all the way. Get in all the way. You know, I've gone before like a body of water that maybe it was late April or May, and you'd put your toe in. Ooh, you know, it's cold, you know. And you try to do that, and then you'd wade out a little bit, and you were shivering a little bit, and so on. But finally, you just say, "Oh, forget it," and you just jump in. Well, see, that's what fullness is. That's when we have that fullness of the Lord, and we just go ahead and get in. It says you're filled with the fullness of God. You want all of Him? You want all of God? You want all of Jesus in your life? You want all of the Holy Spirit in your life? Philippians 1:11 says, "Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Christ Jesus to the glory of the praise of God." Fruits of righteousness. That means we're in right standing before God because we come before Him and we say, "Lord, be merciful to me. I need you, Lord. I need growth in my life. I need fruit in my life." Colossians 1:9 says, "For this reason also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will." Be not confused about the will of God. He says we can be filled with the knowledge of His will, which will have the peace about His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And that we need this filling. Now, the Holy Spirit will produce fruit in our lives. It's a promise of God. And it's I see people reacting at times, and I know I do too. But you have to ask yourself, is that the fruit of the Spirit, or is that the works of the flesh? We planted peach trees last year. And I hear that half of them will bear peaches. The other half, they were already blossoming when the freeze came, and for some reason they just didn't. Now, they'll look good. They'll look like peach trees, but there won't be any fruit on them. You get the parallel this morning? So how do we do it? How do we do it? Galatians 5:16 through 18 says, walk in the Spirit. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. How long can you go on empty? I'm told by the mechanics that it's not good for the motor to run close to empty, because all that stuff that settles in the tank, all that junk that's there, is going to go right into your motor. Am I right? So I remember that when Charlotte says, you better get some more gas. How are your levels? You get so close to empty, you got junk. How's your level of love today? How's your level of joy today? How's your level of peace today? Think about it. How's your level of self-control? You need to empty it out. Even when you flush the commode, the bad stuff leaves and fresh water comes in. Go ahead and laugh. It's all right. You won't forget that one. How's your level of peace? You need the opposite of peace to leave. How's your level of self-control? You need these undisciplined things to leave. How's your level of compassion in ministry? We can lose our compassion. We can only see the problems. We can see the troubles. We can see the failures, seemingly. However, there's really not a failure, because Jesus says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. And he says, the work that I began in you, I will complete it to the day of Jesus Christ. And so, but we see these things and we want to give up on helping people. It didn't work. Right over here at Fronton College Coffee House, I was getting ready to close up one night, and all of a sudden it filled up. I said, wait a minute. This atmosphere doesn't sound good. It doesn't look good. I said, what's happened? What's wrong? They said, there's going to be a fight in here tonight. I said, not in here. We're closing up. And then I found out that this, we called them goat ropers in a pickup, had said something to a hippie and his girlfriend and said, I'll meet you up at Teen Challenge and we'll have it out. And all of a sudden, I saw those converts. Those people that would be another Run Baby Run story. I saw them get bottles and break them, and they were going to have a gang fight in our parking lot. And all of a sudden, well, this pickup drives up, and he swerves in that parking lot and parks, and he didn't wait for the hippie to get there. He, long-haired guy, of course, he ran and got his hair and dragged him down and dragged him up and kicked him with his goat roper boots till he was bloody, finally left him. All the other converts, they're just, yeah, and all of this stuff happening. And I left that night, and I went home, and I kind of fell in my study, and I said, God, it's not working. It worked for others, but I've given all of this time, and it's just not working. And God spoke to me by the Holy Spirit, because it was at that low level. It was at that weakness of, well, are we going to continue in this type of ministry, or are we going to give up? And the Lord spoke to me and said, you gave a little time for them, but I gave my life for them. It's too heavy for you to carry. Move over, and I'll carry it. You see, my level of compassion was gone. My calling that God had given me was leaving because I had no more long-suffering. I had no more compassion. And yet, as the Lord spoke to me and I yielded to Him, all of a sudden, you know, it came back up. And I was ready to go again. I was ready to move forward. How's your level of compassion? How's your level of patience? You pray for patience. You say, I want it. I want it right now, Lord. Patience. We need to be patient with God because He knows the future. We may not see it right now, but He knows the future. And He loves us and He chooses what's best for us. We need to have patience with one another. Patience with those that He's trying to love and trying to reach. How long can you go on an old tire without a flat or a blowout? We need to change a tire. Maybe we just need to put more air in it, fill it back up. Folks, this is a rescue shop. This is a hospital. This is the vision of Church of Living Hope. This is a birthing room. This is a filling station. Davion, would you come? I know the Lord knew who was going to be here this morning and knew who needed this message, that we would be able to recognize our great need and yet the one who can meet our need, the Lord Jesus Christ. First of all, I want to talk about salvation. Salvation is being born again. It's not just believing in God. It's not even believing that Jesus died and rose again. It's believing that He is who He says He is and that He's worthy of you giving your life to Him. Would you stand with me, please? The Holy Spirit knows who's here. God knows who's here that is already His. He knows those who are here that are not His. He knows those that are here that maybe have fallen away from Him. We call it maybe consecrating your life to Him over again, or rededicating your life, or a refilling. But if you're here this morning and you feel that you have wandered from God, but He's calling you today, that something that I said today has got home to you, that you need to be recharged, we will lead you to Jesus if you'll come forward at this time. We'll lead you to salvation, to be part of His family, to be born again. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of God without being saved. This is a church that believes in hell. Hell is a place for sinners, but if you're living in sin, you're already separated from God. But hell is a place where you're separated for eternity. God doesn't want to send people there, but He has a place for those that reject Jesus. You would not want to be in heaven without salvation. So we just pause for a moment. Pray with me. I'm going to have a baptismal service. You have to be born again before you be baptized to be saved. God's touching your heart this morning. Come forward at this time. Walk the aisle. Say, publicly, I want to tell this whole crowd of 100 or so people that I want to follow Jesus today. I want to follow Jesus today. Precious Jesus, come on. Yes, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Who else? Who else as we pause a moment? Si confesamos nuestros pecados, Él es fiel para perdonarnos nuestros pecados y limpiarnos de toda maldad. He wants to save you. Cristo está aquí para salvarle. Come ahead. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. One of the ladies, come and lead her to the Lord. Precious Jesus. Hallelujah. Leslie, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over one sinner that repents. Thank you, Lord. Let's pause a moment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be God. Lord Jesus, we thank you, God. We praise you, God. Jesus. Someone else, come on. Come to Jesus. Like the song said this morning, we need you, Lord. We need you. Oh, how much we need you. We're going to open the altars. For everybody else, it says, my levels are low. One of these things, or all of these things, spoke to my heart that I'm lacking. And I need to be filled with faithfulness. I need to be filled with joy. I need to be filled with the Spirit. I need to be filled. As Davion sings, come on. Come to the altar. Say, Lord, I need you. Come on. Yes, God. Thank you, Lord. We don't need a prayer team now. We need everybody to be the prayer team. Yes, Lord. Fill us, Lord. Fill me up. Fill my cup. Fill it up, Lord. Fill it up. Make me whole. Yes, God. Yes, oh Lord. Fill us, Lord. We need you, Lord. Change. I started out talking about change. You want change in your life. Don't go on empty. Jesus, our Lord. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Hallelujah. More of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. More of you, Lord. Oh, Jesus. Praise you, God.
Those who are weary.
Yes, God.
Those who are needy.
Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord.
And come receive. Oh, come to the river. Come to the river.
Come to the river. The water's waiting for you to be filled. Touch, Lord. Touch your people today, God. Hallelujah. You say there's not room up here for me. Well, find someplace where you're at. Lift your hearts to the Lord. Lift your hand to the Lord. Fill me, Lord. Llename, Señor. I need you, Lord. Más, Señor. Más de ti. Oh God, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be God. Spirit of God, touch us, Lord. Touch your people today, Lord. Don't leave this place without repentance. Turn away from yourself and your sin. Turn towards the Lord. Let Him clean you up. Let the light of God shine in your darkness to expose that which He hates. And then you hate it. Lord, help me to hate what you hate, Lord God, this day. Jesus. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Jesus, oh Lord. Oh God, we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Come, Lord.
Come, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Strength, Lord. If you're full of weakness this morning, ask for strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus, our Lord. Anoint us, Lord. Anoint us, Lord. More joy, Lord. Peace, Lord. Yes, my God. Yes, my Lord. Oh, wonderful God. Blessed be Jesus. Fill us, Lord.
Thirst for you.
Yes, God. Yes, oh Lord. Yes, my Lord. Yes, my Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Jesus. And oh, my soul thirsts for you. For you alone, oh my soul, oh my soul, thirst for you alone.
I pray for the person beside you. Just reach out and say, be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Be filled with the fruits
and see
of a true Christian.
Good.
Let
and I will
the Holy Spirit change our personality to where that it is a Jesus expression of who we need to be in the world around us today.
I will
yes, Lord. Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise you.
I will say,
whosoever calls upon the Lord shall be saved.
You are good.
Blessed be God.
I will
say, touch your people today.
And see that you are good.
Touch us, Lord. Touch us, Lord.
Good to me. And I will taste and see that you are good. And I will say, see that you are good, and I will taste and see that you are good, good to me. Come to the water, all who are thirsty.
Fresh water,
come
freshness, Lord. Freshness, Lord Jesus. Freshness, Lord Jesus.
Come to the table.
Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed be Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Come.
Thank you, Lord.
And
praise God.
And those who are weary. And those
Holy Spirit continues to work in people's
need,
lives this morning.
Would you come,
Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, God. Touch you this morning.
Would you taste and see?
Bless the Lord.
Come to the river. Come to the river. Taste and see.
Come to the river and taste and see. Do you really know what the river is? It's a fresh flowing. Dream of God's movement throughout the earth. Freshness. Even as the spring grass and flowers are coming out, there's a freshness for you today. There's a freshness for you today. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
My soul, it's only you satisfy. It's only you satisfy.
Thank you, Lord. I shared from prison to praise. We want to just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lift your heart up in praise to Him right now. Blessed be Jesus. Praise be the Lord. Lord, we praise you. We exalt you. You're worthy of our praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's a vocal expression of who God is. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. praise you, Jesus, our Lord.
I will take.
Yes, thank you, God. Blessed be Jesus.
You are good.
We praise your name, Lord. We praise you.
I will taste.
Thank you, Jesus.
See that you are good. See that you are good, oh good to me.
Praise
and I will taste.
Thank you, Lord. We praise your name, Lord. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise your name, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praising you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, God.
I will taste.
Do you follow Jesus today? You want to follow Jesus today? Lord, we follow you. We follow you. Praising you, Lord. Lord, not like the group that said, Hosanna, Hosanna, and then crucified you, Lord. But Lord, we praise the resurrected Lord today. Jesus our Lord, we praise you. We thank you, God. We lift up your name before you and before the world around us this day. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Surely we have been with Jesus today, prepared to go forth and face a storm, to face a victory, whatever is there to face it today. Hallelujah. Stretch your hand this way. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Jehová te bendiga y te guarde. Jehová haga resplandecer su rostro sobre ti y tenga de ti misericordia. Jehová alce sobre ti su rostro y ponga en ti paz. May the Lord bless you as you go. I just challenge you today to go find someone and let some joy overflow to them. Go find a need and meet it. Find a hurt and heal it. Go and be Jesus to someone around you. Go and tell them that